Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
Today, we are honored, really honored to have with us retired Command Sergeant Major Alex Nelson. And Alex, I just want to first start by thanking you for your service to our country and putting your life on the line to protect our republic. And I just wish more people would be grateful for the service of people in our militaries. So thank you for that service. So we'll have a series of questions and have a running conversation. Jack usually leads us off, so we'll let Jack go ahead and start us.
Okay, it's an honor, and we appreciate it, sir. Thank you for your time. We are amazed, I particularly am amazed, at how God works in everyone's life. He offers, I believe, the opportunity for everyone on the planet, somehow or another. Somehow we have an opportunity to hear and react and receive Christ. So by your own testimony, we understand that you've done that. But there's a story behind that that we'd like to hear. How did that come to be?
Young man, I had the honor of meeting our Lord and Savior real young in life. If 16 years old is young, it's definitely younger than us three. Sitting in a little place called Mountain View, North Carolina. Very special place, a church called Maranatha Baptist Church. And it was just time. You know when you have that, your hair on the back of your neck starts standing up and then your adrenaline starts flowing and you just have to get up. You can't sit still. There's just something. It's like a magnet drawing yourself to the pulpit. I mean, you just had to go. If you sit still too long, it's like your pants was going to catch on fire. You had to get up and move. And so it was the good Lord was moving that day, and I'm glad he did.
Well, amen. That's a wonderful testimony. So how did you get started how did you get started in life? We know how you got started with your parents and all that. But growing up, you said Mountain View. We assume that you grew up in North Carolina. What did you do as you approached the end of high school? And how did you look at your future? And how in the world did you ever come to decide to go the path that you went?
I'm going to shorten the story up just a little. We were poor. We were so poor, we didn't know we were poor. Hmm. I've seen a lot of these sniveling, cry, little tears coming down your face, woe is me stories about how we lived. Everybody has a story. Everybody has grown up with obstacles in their life. My father made $1 an hour. We didn't grow up in a sharecropper's house. We grew up in a sharecropper's room that had no indoor plumbing at all. We had an outhouse until I was 13 years of age. That's all I knew. But I knew I wanted to do something more. I knew there was something more out there. I had a teacher one time that told me, once you're poor, you're always going to be poor. There's no, you don't move up in what's called strata. I didn't believe that. Intercom, when I 11th grade, going into 12th grade, there was, I'm the only one in my family that went through that far. And there was a message on the intercom that said, if you want to go to college, go see Coach Mike Green. And I did. And when I walked in, he laughed at me so hard, he fell out of his chair. He told me I wasn't college material.
Wow.
You see, when we got up in the mornings, we'd get up around 4:30, work in the garden, get home from school, work in the garden. And there was no time for study. There was no time for extracurricular. But I do know there was something out there. There was something outside of this area that I just haven't seen yet. On the way back from high school that day, I seen a big billboard that said Army College Fund. And as the old Paul Harvey used to say, and now you know the rest of the story. And we joined the military. And I have several funny stories about that. I will tell you a really good godly story. Airborne school. Are you familiar with Fort Benning, Georgia?
Yep.
Airborne school. And there were 4 weeks of airborne school. The first 3 weeks, you practice how to jump out of jets and airplanes. The fourth week, you jump out of the airplanes. I went to church every Wednesday night. I went to church every Sunday, even through training. And it was amazing. You could roll tumbleweeds through the halls of that church that first 3 weeks of airborne school. Now, that fourth week, when you were getting ready to go actually jump out of the airplane, if you didn't get there early, you didn't get a seat. Everybody went to church that day. It's kind of funny how when we, you know, when things happen, you always want to make sure your insurance policy is covered. These guys didn't want to pay those dues beforehand, but the day they was getting ready to jump out of the airplanes, they were sure enough was in line at church.
Mm. We saw it with 9/11 too, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Everybody was in church.
I could throw in this latest terrible accident that happened on the football field. I think it was the Buffalo Bills. And before that, a lot of people were protesting and doing bad things and not even wanting to mention God's name on TV. And then during that incident, I mean, the whole stadium was on the bended knee.
Well, you know, I want our listeners to know you had a role recently to play with bringing the Great Wall to our city. And I'm not talking about the Great Wall of China. I'm talking about another Great Wall. Tell our listeners what your role and involvement was in that.
They had asked me to speak at that event this past Friday. And I had the wonderful pleasure of being there with a really great man, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
Tell our listeners what the Great Wall is I'm talking about. They might not know.
The moving wall, Vietnam Memorial Wall. A lot of names were placed on the wall in Washington, D.C. And a group of people got together and they were able to make a one that was mobile, because a lot of people cannot afford to get to Washington, D.C., so we're bringing the wall to society or to other communities. Now, I'm not doing it myself, but a group is. I just happened to have the pleasure of being a part of this one. And while you're bringing up the wall, Herb, and I had a big prepared speech I wanted to give during this movement. And I walked around the wall, and as I got close, I seen each individual name. And I got to quit calling it the wall. Because each one of these members, each one of these names on the wall, they stood at the gate. They stood at the gate of their home. They stood at that pinnacle, a moment of choice, where they took one step toward the motor conveyance that's going to take them into combat or back toward their family. Now, can you imagine, just think about it just for a minute. You just got a letter. Mm. And the letter said you're going to Vietnam. And you've been reading the news coverages. You know what's going to happen in Vietnam. We're fighting communism. We're fighting all these things that want to take the American freedoms away. Now, I'm not justifying any war. If you ever try to justify war, look, war is ugly. War is ugly. If you show me somebody that glorifies war, I'll show you somebody that's never been to war. But these people, and you had to look at your wife, and your children, your mom, your dad, your Uncle Toby, your uncle, you know, throw a name out there. And you still had the courage to turn and take that step away. And all those young men on that wall in Vietnam, I can imagine them looking at their wives and looking at their children and memorizing everything about that moment. And they kept that moment with them their entire lives. The problem is with people on that wall, they didn't make it back home to get that second look. Yep. It's that gate. It's that decision. That's choice. The path we have for freedom isn't free. It's not free. And those men paid a heavy price. Today, our capital is in Washington, D.C. Our capital is not in Beijing. Our capital is not in Thailand. It's not in Moscow. It's not in Germany, Berlin. It's here in the United States.
Yeah.
And what do you make, Alex, of the difficulty that the Army is having in finding recruits? What do you think is driving that? Because ever since I've been alive, there may have been some difficulty in the past that I'm unaware of, but I know that there seemed to be plenty of folks who were willing to join the Army, the Marines, the Navy, whatever it was. Some of it was driven in my day when I was 18 by trying to avoid the draft. For example, I had friends that joined the Coast Guard as opposed to being drafted into the Army because they were very much afraid they were going to be sent to Vietnam. But be that as it may, they still were joined. And I have relatives that all serve. But today, it just seems that it's not that way. What do you think is driving this?
We have the lowest recruiting rate since post-Vietnam. We have the lowest active duty numbers since, again, post-Vietnam. A lot of it is the climate. It's the overall command climate of the military. Now, I don't care if I get in trouble when I say this or not. I'm retired. But the command climate of the military, it's structured to where your beliefs are in question every day, your beliefs. And a lot of the soldiers are getting it. We lost 250,000 soldiers from the military last year. 250,000. That's a lot. Yeah. My first question is, where are these service people at? Where are the service members at? You know, my son joined the military. My other son joined the military. My grandfather was in the military, which is one of the reasons why, besides that story that I told you earlier about the Army College Fund, that's why I joined. And right now there's a big push to give everybody college for free. So that's not really an incentive to join the military anymore.
That's true.
It's not. So, you know, what is our young people going to do? I believe that we really do need to support the military, and it doesn't matter what president is in power right now. Our national security is going to be at risk. Is at risk. Our enemies are emboldened. Our enemies are emboldened right now, and we are taking a step back. A lot of service members are either getting out of the military or being kicked out of the military. You can call it for the decisions on taking vaccines. Or you can call it maybe political posturing. I don't know. A lot of it is fear. With a lot of the civilianizing of the military is a big deal. You cannot civilianize the military. You cannot bring in a lot of these social interest projects. Military is to fight and win the nation's wars. That's right. That's it. We're to fight and win the nation's wars. We cannot take on social interests. It's This is not going to happen. And right now, that's really getting in the way. If you ask me right now, if I would send one of my sons in there, man, that would be a hard choice. But the majority of our men and women are serving today. Their aunts or uncles or cousins or moms and dads, they served. And that's the life that they're doing. And right now, a lot of our past service members are not back in the military. As hard as that pill is to swallow, it's even harder to say.
For our listeners, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to switch gears a little bit. I happened to be in your business recently, and I want our listeners to know it's like walking into Fort Knox. I've never seen so much gold all over the place, and the gold is from the trophies that that your students have won. So tell our listeners, you know, what led you into this business? And I know your students are just, they're incredible.
It, very simply, when you find somebody smarter than you, marry them. And in the military, I met a young lady. She was the a national clinician for gymnastics. Did very, very well for herself. Beautiful, beautiful, God-felt young lady. And again, you meet somebody smarter than you, you need to marry them. She had the government contract for gymnastics. And so we, instead, when I retired, instead of putting it in a container somewhere, a storage unit, and letting it dilapidate, we decided to use it. So I want to let some business owners know, don't hide your belief. Don't hide your Christianity. Tell people about it. Let them know who you are. Because sooner or later, they're going to find out who you are. If they don't like you, they're going to leave anyway. Let them know who you are. Our Christian cheer team literally says Christian cheer team. It's in the name. I've had people come in wanting to join the cheer team. Young lady came in last year. It's kind of funny, but not really. Our cheer team was praying. She said, what are they doing? I said, they're praying. Well, why? We're a Christian cheer team. Mm. Well, do we have to pray? No, you don't have to pray. It's just we're a Christian cheer team. Well, what if we don't want to pray? Well, here's the number to this gym, this gym. Here's some other gyms you can go to. God bless you. If you want to do ours, then do so. You know, people have choices. I want you to love everybody, whether they believe in Christianity, no matter what religion, race, color, creed, religion you are. But you see, your rights stop where mine begins. I have a right to be a Christian as much as you have a right not to be. Not you two. I'm sure you are. But don't hide who you are.
That's a good point. As you, and you are being the business owner that you are and the kind of business that you have, brings you into contact with a lot of young folks. Now, as I look at the demarcation of age around the country now, I'm discouraged because it seems like so many folks in power are a little younger than me, some my age. The president, for example, is older than I am. Our generation seems to be a whole lot different than the generation that's coming up. What do you think of our hope for the future in the younger folks that, at least that you're around?
I retired in 2019, the end of 2019. If you'd asked me then, the major problem that we had was physical fitness. I've got young people that come in the military services and they're not able to run a mile. They're not able to walk a mile. They're not able to think about walking a mile. To me, when I was 16, 17 years old, that was a trip to the store in the back, and we did that every day. The physical fitness of our youth has deteriorated greatly. That's one reason why I love this place that we're doing now. It's athletics, and it's putting our youth in the best positions to be successful. You can't wait until you're 18 and decide to run a marathon and you haven't done as much as run to the mailbox. But you've got to help children in our community and help parents understand and put themselves in good position to be successful. So one thing is physical fitness. We've had to extend the military prior to me getting out. We had to extend the military classes and courses to add more physical fitness in there to get them up to levels of readiness. You see, I hate to say it, you know, this directly, but I'm going to. Bullets don't discriminate. Explosives do not discriminate. You need to be physically fit enough to accomplish the missions that set forth by the President of the United States on down into your higher ranking. And right now, some of them are. Now, the military is doing a really good job of working with what we have and getting them more fit. Psychologically, a lot of our social issues is really hampering our ability to train as well. And I could go right down the list. Again, I want you to concentrate on the missions, but instead you're bringing in right, wrong, or indifferent whether homosexuality should be allowed in the military services, whether transgender should be allowed in the military services, whether abortion should be allowed in the military services, whether all these other issues should be allowed. You're taking focus away from training. You're taking focus away from just, what did I just open up a complete can of worms right there? I did. I had a news media person ask me why military was against transgender. Military is not anti anything. And we're trying to politicize the military services. Military is not anti anything. The military it wants to focus on the mission that's been given to them. And you're adding in all these things. I've got soldiers, Christian, I've got Russia and China and North Korea having meetings on how to destroy us. We're having meetings on how to be more sensitive. And I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail after that one. But we're not anti anything. Does that make sense?
That's right.
Yes, it does. I wholeheartedly agree. One of the discouraging things for me is to see how rapidly our society is what I would use the word decaying. Some people would say maybe the light is coming on and we're being more enlightened. I would totally disagree with that. When you used the word, I had never heard the word trans all my life. Now, I've encountered homosexuals and things like that. But trans? I mean, what in the world? Where do you now? I believe, as you believe, that there is an evil one, and his name is Satan. And I believe he's running around causing most of these problems. Would you agree with that?
I believe we have issues in today's society. I believe that we are on the crevices of. Let me say it a different way. You can never beat the American military. There is no force, with the exception of God himself, that could compete squad against squad, platoon against platoon, company against company to defeat our American soldiers. I had a young man when I was your Balkans National Support Element Command Sergeant Major, and he was from, doesn't matter. But he said, you know, we don't have to destroy America. We just have to wait for them to destroy themselves.
That's right.
Now, how you do that is, and again, I'm not going to disrespect any feeling, any sect. But how you beat the military, how you beat a soldier, how you beat a section or a squad is you sow the roots of, or you destroy the climate. You know, that hand that's reaching down to help you over that wall, whether it's white, black, Hispanic, Puerto Rican, doesn't matter. And they're going to help you up and you're going to work as a combined team.
That's right.
You know, you're going to strengthen people's weaknesses. You're going to maintain their strengths of those sections and you're going to work together to accomplish the set goals. The definition of leadership is the ability to influence others to accomplish their mission by using purpose, direction, and motivation. How you defeat our military services and how you defeat our culture is you start sowing these divisions and then you pour a little water on it. You put a little Miracle-Gro on it and you start festering it and you making it and you start building these walls in between individuals where you cannot make a consensus on anything. And, you know, that's sad because we are the best military in the world. And I think we're the best society in the world. But you can destroy yourself from within.
Yeah. I want our listeners to know also that Command Sergeant Major is an amazing leader, not only in the military and with his business, but also in the community. He spoke out, stood up, stepped up, and he helped save a community center that some previous managers were absconding with the funds and making the business go bankrupt. And he stood up, he raised money, and that community center, it's in East Bend, is that right?
Yes, sir.
In East Bend, it's now fully operational thanks to retired Command Sergeant Major Alex Nelson. Thank you for, you know, leading in our community as well. Now, I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but there's some things on the wall behind you, and I'm curious, what are those things on the wall behind you?
Oh, those are combat flags. When you finish an actual combat mission, my first combat mission was 18 months. The secondary was about 15 months. There's multiples around here. My wife, actually, those hadn't been on the wall. And my wife, as beautiful as she is, she put them on the wall this last month. The other one is the plaque that shows all 31 nations as the Balkans National Support Element Command Sergeant Major that was there represented in Pristine, Kosovo.
Oh, wow.
Let's see here.
How many nations? 31? Look at that. So yeah, you were involved with all of those nations.
Yes, sir. But thank you for that. We have this issue in life. We always like to see, no, correction, I'll take that back. We don't like to see issues. The biggest butt chewing, do I have enough time to tell you this?
Yeah, you do.
The biggest butt chewing I ever received in my life was by a young man named Command Sergeant Major Ray Burns. Command Sergeant Major, if you're out there, God bless you and thank you. So, God bless you. Thank you very much. I was sitting there minding my own business in Germany, 10th Engineer Battalion in Kitzingen, Germany. And the Command Sergeant Major came out there, grabbed me by my neck. And for all you sensitive snowflakes individuals out there, yeah, literally grabbed me by my neck. We're talking about the military, not the soft hold hands and skip military. Drugged me in his office and just ripped me for 30 whole minutes. Called me everything but a good guy. I did not know what I was being in trouble for. I was being in trouble. I'd gotten in trouble because there was a Coca-Cola can laying there in the grass. I was standing next to it as a Sergeant E5, and I had watched a lot of soldiers pass that Coca-Cola can. Officers passed the Coca-Cola can. NCOs passed the Coca-Cola can. And again, you know, I was called everything but a good guy when I did that. And he told me the real reason why he was mad at me was because that Coca-Cola can represented a problem. It was an issue. And I allowed an issue to stay there. Not only did I allow an issue to stay there, I allowed soldiers to step over a problem and keep moving. And everybody was waiting for someone else to fix the problem. Command Sergeant Major Ray Burns said he wanted a society that fixed the problems. He wanted a society that fixes the problems, not step over it and allow somebody else to try to do it. That's why when we see places like the East Bend Recreation Park that needed to be fixed, and they had asked me to step in and fix it. Or we see issues out here. We see some of our soldier members that are service members that are on the side of the road that are homeless or needs help. Stop and help them. Quit stepping over problems and quit waiting for someone else to try to solve that issue.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, we know that you're a busy man, Alex, and we certainly appreciate your time and your thoughts. And again, as Brother Herb said earlier, we appreciate your service so much. We ask God's blessing upon you, upon your organization, and we ask him to bless the United States of America. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Brother Herb, who's going to give us our closing comments. And again, we thank you.
Yeah. So would you like to share with our listeners the business that you're running now? And if you do, I can put a link on the video, but you can tell our listeners who hear the audio about what you're doing.
We're trying to be a voice in the community for a lot of these young children that need voices. My wife is a gymnastics instructor here in Winston-Salem and doing very well at it. Young children come in here and spend time with us. They, name of the business is Old Town Gymnastics Academy. And I'm glad you asked me to speak. It wasn't just to produce this business or to glorify this business. It's to glorify the Lord and what he's allowed us to do. Some of these children here, I'm not going to get into that. I can tell you that it's more of a ministry. It's more of a ministry in my mind.
Awesome.
And I want to thank you for being friends. Well, thank you for allowing me to actually sit with you guys and call you my brothers.
It's our pleasure and our honor.
Well, thank you so much. I know your message will be inspirational, you know, especially when you send a message out that says, when you see a problem, fix it. Don't walk past it, fix it. And that's what our young people today need to know. When they see a problem, they can fix it, you know, if they want to. So again, thank you so much for being with us today, and I'll send you some links when we get this up running on the air.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it, Alex. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death,
and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.' No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, 'Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.'" Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.